My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Back for another edition of Walking Around in Radioland. Oh, it's such a nice day. I thought I would get back out into the park. It's nice having all this great equipment and all back at the studio, but I just felt like, you know, with today, we're getting into autumn, and it's just absolutely beautiful and pleasant outside, and it just felt like it would be the right thing to do to come out and get out in it. And apparently, I'm not the only one. I'm out here at Overton Park, where we have done several episodes from Radioland already. It's a very nice, serene, clean park. Lots of people here. It's a good thing. It's a good place. Well maintained. It's one of the jewels of the city. You've heard me talk about it before. Which kind of got me to thinking a little bit, too, about what I wanted to get into in some aspects, is that, you know, when you talk about the city of Memphis, and I know here of late we've kind of taken it on the chin in the news. We've had some bad flooding here. We've had a really bizarre string of violent activity here. It goes with the territory, I know. And I may walk a kind of a fine line on this episode, in that, you know, people tend to have very distinct and very stark opinions about the state of things here. Memphis, of course, has a very very interesting history. People would sometimes think that it's a very racist and very ugly city. We've talked about that before. There are those who I have seen who make comments of, this is why I don't like this town. This is why I'm leaving this town. This is why I don't want any part of what's happening here. And it's, you know, it's all relative, I know. I get it. But, you know, here's the thing. We're not without our problems. Yeah, I'll give you that. And that's a very, very true thing. So it's a lot of cities, a lot of problems. Some people think that, just packing up and running out just to get away from one set of problems is going to be the key to a successful future, I suppose. And I understand that. I mean, it makes sense. Because on the surface, it certainly does seem that way. Hell, I'm guilty of it. I've packed up and moved around the country. I've been, you know, not just because I didn't like the current situation, it's just that I felt that I can improve on my own life. But, you know, with that in mind, you have to remember that just because you find a place to go doesn't mean that you're going to be even happier. You'll be somewhat happier, for a certain extent. I'm happy here in Memphis. I'm happier here than I would be back in Texas. I know that. I have planted roots here. This is 18 years I've been in this town, and a lot has happened to me here, and a lot has happened to this city in those 18 years, and, you know, I'm proud of calling this town my home. With that said, the problems that occur here, I think, are nothing that we can't get around. We've got, every city's got them, but ours are pretty unique. I know a lot of you listen to this podcast don't live in this area, so it might be kind of hard to wrap a context around it. Memphis is pretty much a blue-collar town, and it's a three-shift city, thanks to companies like FedEx and whatnot. I mean, this is the distribution capital of the world, and I'm fairly well located in the middle of the country along the Mississippi River, where you're shipping stuff up and down the river, east and west through I-40. You know, all the bases are covered here. A lot of people live here, so they can fly out to other cities. It's a relatively simple way to do it. We've had problems here in relation to our police department. They're going through their own really rough situation, in that their retirement and pension plans are on the fence, and people are worried about that. And there's all this hooting and hollering about, well, it's government this and government that. And yes, it is, but all governments are messed up. I laugh when people say, you know, America is the greatest country on the planet. I have my doubts about that status right now. And I know that's going to sound un-American. And I don't mean to be unpatriotic by any means. I mean, I'm sitting literally in the shadows of the World War I monument. It's great people that fought in that war. World War II, great people fought in that one. Korea. My father was a vet in the Korean War, Vietnam, all the business in the Persian Gulf. These were great Americans that got involved in that for whatever reason or another. That's a personal decision. Are we doing well these days? I don't think so. The country is certainly it's changing. I know the world is changing, and we're trying to keep up with it as citizens the best that we can. You have often heard me speak of things like corporate greed. It's very pervasive in the government. You know, anybody who pays taxes can understand what all that's about. We live in a very different type of environment these days. It's not, you know, anywhere like those of us over the age of 30 can certainly testify that, you know, life is certainly different. Hell, I was watching a little bit of an NFL game, and I couldn't believe how much that game has changed. It's not the same as it used to be. It wasn't the same as it was when I grew up, with all the different rule changes. Hell, baseball's done the same thing. They claim it's for safety or, you know, for whatever reasons that they have. It isn't the same thing. Personally, and I'll only mention this, but if you really want to improve the NFL, if you want to improve the football, the game of football, throw out half the damn rules on contact and take the face mask off the helmets. Then you got a game. That makes that work. If you don't want to play it, don't play it. Don't want to watch it, don't watch it. Baseball, now they're about to do away with. They're trying to get umpires out of the scene. Well, the human element is what makes the game so intriguing and so interesting. And as a result, you know, computers are becoming more and more of a thing within the baseball world. And they've got them now calling balls and strikes and safe and out. And whether that was a home run or not, well, let's go to the tape and we'll review it all for our own satisfaction and for the satisfaction of the team themselves. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but, you know, hey, if it slows the game down so they can stick some more commercials in the game, why the hell not, right? That's what it's all about. We all need to make a buck or two, and that's the way it goes. But I don't know that this country has been any better. We do have some great things here. Hell, I'm sitting in a park that is certainly a good representation of just how good some things in this country can be. There are people that I deal with on a daily basis that are good representations of what I believe humans can be, the human condition. The human condition here of late has not been all that great. You know, we all watch the news. We all see it. Hell, it's rammed down our throats if you have a Facebook account. Everybody has their opinions, as do I. I'm no different than anybody else. This is the way it goes. Violence is a bad thing, I personally believe. Around these parts, it's always rammed down somebody's throat that the only way you're going to actually, you know, be a surviving human being in this world is if you carry a gun. I used to carry a gun, actually. I bought into that whole thing. I went and took the class and got fingerprinted and went through the background checks and all that business and carried a handgun for several years. Until you realize just kind of what an encumbrance it can be. You're constantly having to think about that thing on your hip or wherever it is that you got it stashed. Can I go into here? Can I do this? I know there's gun people right now that are hearing this and just gritting their teeth and being pissed off. If you want to be pissed off, be pissed off. I could give a shit. Can't carry it onto school property. Not that I have any kids. Can't carry it into a bank. Can't carry it into a bar or a restaurant or a restaurant that serves alcohol. Can't carry it to the courthouse. Can't carry it to the mail, the post office. I mean, it would just seem sort of stupid. And it's like, well, then what am I supposed to do? Leave it in the car? Well, then they always tell you, don't ever leave a gun in the car because somebody's going to break into your car and steal the damn thing. And guess what? There's another gun out on the streets. As I mentioned before, I'm out here at Overton Park, and there's so many people out here. And I'd be willing to guess that probably less than 1% of these people are even in possession of a handgun right now. There'd be no need for it here. We see all this stuff on the news about groups like ISIS, which is a scary thing. These guys are, you know, as I said on the air the other day, the best way to think of them is sort of the Westboro Baptist Church of the Islamic Nation. people here are short and quick to judge things on that. You know, they're quick to say, well, all Islamic people are violent and they're going to cut your head off and they're going to fuck you up. Man, look out for the Muslims. They're out to kill you. That's not true. There's a fundamental group. There, anything that is fundamental in whatever religion you might practice or whatever religion is being touted as this thing, anything in fundamental religion is going to be something that can be and is usually quite dangerous. I mean, granted, guys like the Westboro Baptist Church, they're, you know, please, they're more comical than they are dangerous, I think. Spreading any type of message of hate in regards to any higher power just seems sort of silly to me. But we do live in a nation where we have the freedom of expression. We have the freedom of religion here. We have the freedom to say our minds and speak our truths that we believe and the things that we want to hold on to. So, yeah, you know, you can't outlaw it. Can't do that. You can protest it in your own way. You have that right. And, yeah, ISIS is a scary thing. There's all this talk. Oh, they're going to be here. They're going to come to your town. They're going to come to Memphis, and they're going to cut your head off. We had this joke at the Cooper Young Festival, which, by virtue of me stating this, it was yesterday. I know this is a week later, but it was. I'm recording this on the day that the other podcast, the JC podcast, needed to go out, and I've been remiss, so my apologies. The whole idea about ISIS, it's horrible. They've cut three heads off of people that are English and American, and as a result, the government is out there and they're trying to do. They're launching these airstrikes against Syria and other places in the Middle East. And it's not, I know, I get it. It's, you got to do what you got to do if you're going to be, playing the political game. And you got to make a statement. You got to have a stance about certain things. But I made the joke yesterday that, ISIS is here. There's this panic that they're already here in the States, and they're going to be coming around. They're going to be grabbing people at random, and they're going to be cutting their heads off, and we're not going to know what to do. And I said, who's to say ISIS didn't have a booth at the Cooper Young Fest, and if you bought a nice little beaded bracelet, they cut your head off for free. And when I made the joke, some people laughed, some others were kind of uncomfortable with it. It's not a great joke, I know that. But some of the people that were immediately around me were shocked that I made that kind of a statement. Look, you have to accept what's happening in this world. Can you change it? Yeah, you might be able to. Is there anything that you can do right this second to really turn things around for yourselves? Probably. Can you stop a terrorist organization that's worth about as much as IBM? You personally? Probably not. Can the U.S. government do so? Probably not. Look, let's be honest here, kids. Our track record, militarily speaking, and this is no offense to anybody in the military. I'm talking about the U.S. government here. Our track record is not that great. The last war we, quote-unquote, won was the Second World War. Take me to task on it. Go ahead and say so. Well, President Bush said that the mission was accomplished in Iraq. What was the fucking mission? Fighting a faceless enemy, or fighting a group of people that can be walking amongst you. How is that even remotely comparable to your lives? I mean, it's no different than walking in an area of your city that can be somewhat crime ridden, if you will. And as you go, which is a kind of a funny thing, because that would if you say something is crime ridden, that would assume that all crime has been removed from there, which is our language is beautiful that way. That if you walk into a crime ridden area, you stand a fairly decent chance of possibly getting mugged or carjacked or probably not. I've been to all parts of this city. There are good sides, there are bad sides. Every city has those. Have you ever felt threatened? Nah, not really. I've been around people that make me uncomfortable, but that's just me personally. And you do what you have to do to take necessary precautions. Carrying a handgun certainly was not the way that it was going to work for me. Did I feel it necessary to carry one? I guess at the time I thought so. Does anybody feel the need to have, I guess for their own personal safety, they would probably feel that they needed to carry one. And I'm sure the gun people will come out. And that's fine if you do. You have every right to do that. And call me whatever name in the book you want to. I mean, that's fine. If it's your security blanket, then I guess that's what makes you secure. Then be secure. Follow the rules. Play by the laws of the land. And you know, I have no problem with that. But with all the things that have been happening here in the news, whether it's ISIS in the United States, look, let's be honest here. These people, they're crazy. Sure, they're nuts. They're killing people because of religious implication. That's the bottom line. They don't like people who don't follow the rules of fundamental Islamic faith or Muslim faith. So what says more than, hey, you're not going to follow my God, let me cut your head off? Let's be honest here. About 1,500 years ago, the Catholics were doing the same damn thing. So this shit isn't, it's not new. But I can guarantee you this, what is different is groups like ISIS, if they did come to the United States, they're not stupid. Well, maybe they are. I don't know. They may not be all that bright. But they have to know that just about, I don't know, There's a good, healthy group of people, especially in the South, that are armed. Now, how many terrorists, if you will, and I'm talking about Middle East-style terrorism, aside from 9/11 in New York, how many acts of those things have occurred here in the States? And I love how, you know, some of the radio, the talking heads on radio, on terrestrial radio, like to talk about that. That's like they have to have this. It's like they almost have to believe there's some sort of a faceless enemy out there that we all have to be scared of. So we have to have these people in office that will definitely protect us at every turn. I don't buy that. You shouldn't buy that. If you think that your federal government is going to do a good job of protecting you, let's take a look at once again at the income tax system. Just take a look at that. Albert Einstein once said that one of the most complicated things he ever tried to wrap his head around was understanding the internal revenue system, service system, group, people, organization, the tax code. It's impossible even for a guy like Einstein to figure out. What makes you think you guys have a chance? That's why I hire an accountant. He does a great job, but hell, there's no way I'd ever do my taxes again. And you think that this government is here to protect you? They're going to do what they can. They're bound by our Constitution to do so. But you have to put it upon yourself, too, to make those necessary decisions to do what you can to protect yourself. I know this thing seems weird. I'm talking, sort of anti-gun, sort of pro-gun. Way to walk the line, Rick. Way to try and figure out all the answers to all the questions. Not necessarily. I'm just out here rambling and running my mouth this time around. To fill a hole in my production schedule, quite frankly. And here's the thing. I like doing these little solo episodes of the podcast because it does kind of give me a chance to vent a little bit, and it is quite cathartic. In fact, while I'm thinking about it, I know I'm going to be jumping around. It's a hodgepodge of things here. I was at a local convenience store the other day, and I was standing in line, and I was getting my purchases and dealing with the clerk over there. It was a very lovely moment, and everybody was nice. The store had five, six people in there, and there were people kind of bustling and coming and going. And I'm standing there at the register, and I'm listening to the cashier who's telling me how much money I owe her. And I've got my cash in my hand, and I'm counting it out, and I lay it onto the counter. And at that moment, I felt this kind of a tug on my left elbow, my left arm, and it was this woman. And I've never met her before. And she said, I just wanted to thank you for those podcasts you did about John. If you're new to the podcast, go back a little bit. Look for Exiled to Radio Land, Parts 1, 2, and 3. That's what she was referring to. And she said, I know it was difficult for you to do, but I wanted you to know how I appreciated that and how much it meant to me to hear it from your point of view. And I thanked her, and she went on about her way. I later had gotten into the car, and I happened to be sitting there, and she she had gotten herself a 12-pack of good old-fashioned American beer. And I'm sitting there, I was smiling, I'm thinking, you know, this is it. This is the people that I speak to. Partly. I mean, I obviously there's people from all walks of life that I speak to on a routine basis with this podcast, and I do appreciate each and every one of you for doing so. Like it or love it, or hate it, it makes no difference to me, quite frankly. I know I'm not out to appeal to everybody, but there are those who do appreciate what I have to say, and I'm grateful for that. But it was very nice for this lady to come up to me and say that, and I don't know how she knew me. It could have been through Radio Memphis. It could have, obviously, it was, you know, at the time a little bit through Rock 103 when I was there, but it was nice, and that's a good thing. People still do that. My faith in humanity wavers, I will give you that, but it's nice to have that little bolster of support from somebody who says, I like what you did. I try and do that to people as well. When somebody puts out some original work for themselves, I like to compliment them, especially if I like it. If I don't like it, I may not say anything, but I don't, you know. I try and be complimentary. I know it means a lot to people because I'm a creative person myself. But there again, therein lies my peace of mind, knowing that what I'm doing in this ever-changing world is, it's what I feel that I should be doing. It's what I want to be doing. It's what I'm comfortable doing. And if it brings joy to others, then, you know, by God, then I think I've succeeded in that aspect. That's really the bottom line here. It's not about how much money you can make doing this sort of thing. Look, if you're in the creative business of any type, whether it's music or as an actor or a voice guy like myself or putting out podcasts or working at a radio station, you know very well how difficult these things can be. One of the other things, speaking of fallout of the Bad Dog thing, the Exile to Radioland podcast, I got in a call from a dear friend of mine who I worked with there at Clear Channel those years ago, and I spoke with her, Asia Raison. She's lovely, lovely lady, great voice. She was also in the production department, very talented audio editor, doing some work with another group of stations these days. Left Clear Channel. She told me that when I had, word had gotten out that I had been offered my job back and I turned them down, all those others at Clear Channel who had been let go, who had also had their jobs offered back to them, they all said no for the same reasons that I did. And they did it kind of because I had something to do with it, but because of what I had said and how I was treated and how I felt about that kind of thing. And it was nice. It was a little bit of validation that I made the right decision. Am I always right on those things? No, not really. Not in the least. But I think on this time I did get it right. Once again, gave me a little bit of peace of mind. And yes, we live in a fucked up world. There's no two ways about it. We live with the corporate greed. I'm not going to beat you over the head with that anymore. Enough is enough on that. Corporate problems aside, the world and its own problems aside, we have within our means of ability right now is a pretty good chance to try and make other people a little bit happier. It'd be a good thing. Once again, another reason why I'm out here in the park. A lot of people seem happy out here. Kids kicking a soccer ball around. You got couples laying on blankets and folks walking their dogs through here and riding their bicycles. Taking a break from the world for a few moments and have some fun on a nice, pretty day like today. I think we lose sight of that. And I think that's why I like to come here every once in a while and record these episodes, because it does kind of ground me a little bit. I mean, I know here in about, you know, in a few minutes, I'm going to be getting back into my car and heading back into reality and getting back into the studio and trying to get things done and try and tackle my problems one by one. Same problems that you have. Well, not identical, but they're close. Fighting the same fights that we all fight. And trying to live our hopes and dreams to the best that we can. And attain the goals that we've set for ourselves without causing too much of a fuss. That's a good thing. Yeah, this city's fucked up. I'll say it again. It's got problems. So does Chicago. So does Atlanta. So does New Orleans, San Francisco, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Tupelo, Mississippi. Name a city. It's got problems. People might be hearing that and go, Rick, that's a cop-out. No, it's not a cop-out. This is my home now. I'm staying. I'm going to do my best to improve this town. I don't know quite how. Perhaps I'll figure it out. I'd like to, just at the very least, leave upon this world a small mark that improves this world better than when I found it. That'd be nice. Maybe you can too. We're always going to have somebody like ISIS out there we're going to have to deal with. There's always going to be some type of brutal corporation that is going to cost somebody their job. Tomorrow, in this country, there'll be a lot of people that'll get laid off. And name an industry. Pick one. It just happens. Conversely, there's going to be quite a few people out there. Come tomorrow, they will sign the dotted line on a new job. New future. New hopes, new dreams. And perhaps a new life. There's always going to be that fear that creeps up the back of our neck in the middle of the night as we try and sleep, and yet we worry about whether or not the utilities are going to get cut off. There's always going to be that moment when we try and understand that some of the things that we work forward and work on and work very diligently toward may or may not happen. For some of us, there's going to be that irrational fear that there's going to be some creature, some monster, some aberration of human society that's going to break into our home and steal our things or kill our family. It's always going to be there. We're always going to have those problems. These are the same problems that people have been fighting for generations upon generations. And there's always going to be that group of people that feel sorry for the youth of our world that have to come to terms with this problem. The students of today are our leaders of tomorrow. That's a pretty broad statement, but it's very true. I often imagine what it would have been like to have a child. I don't have any children. But I often wonder what it would be like to have a child. I don't know that I would be a good parent. But I can tell you this, I don't know that I would want to be a teenager in this day and age either. But that's just me. There's a simple reason for that. We all sort of agree with that. If you're over the age of 30 or 40, you can't imagine being a teenager these days. You know what, though? When you were a teenager, your parents said the same thing to each other before they went to bed. They probably took pity on you because they couldn't imagine being a teenager at the time you were, or I were, or were, I was. Because we belong to our own generation. Those are the things that we hold close to. The rest of the life, as we get to watch it unfold before us, as time marches on and civilizations come and go, and the world around us either builds up or crumbles down, we try and relate to that. We really do. And we get to watch it, and we get to sit there and with that drink in our hand at the end of the night, and we go, God, I can't imagine being a teenager in this day and age. Oh, God, that would suck. I'm glad when I was a kid, Facebook wasn't around. Oh, my God, how these kids put up with that shit is beyond me. I can't imagine being a kid now. But see, that's just it. They can't imagine being a kid when I was growing up. Kids still do kid things. I mean, I'm watching a couple of kids right now, and they're running through the park over here. Their parents are walking along behind them, doing the best that they can. Some things never change. Although it is rather rare to see kids playing outside these days. Because when they're inside, they're strapped to some type of video game system or a mobile phone or a computer of some sort. So it's nice to see that. Just because I'm an old cranky bastard.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
It's time. Everybody's got a life outside of what they do. And, you know, this is not necessarily a hobby for me or an exercise, really, in, well, some might say in futility. Of course, the best way to guarantee that is my early demise. And even though I know there's some folks that would probably find that delicious, that's not happening as long as I can help it. I try not and prepare much for this because I want it to be a little more free and easy. Yeah, and because of that, you get episodes like this where I just seem to kind of ramble on for a moment. What's the point of going out and working and working and working, and then you drop dead? It does bring to mind a very funny little situation that occurred, and it because of the way the situation happened, it has turned into this interesting little phrase that I use from time to time. And the phrase is this.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
So there you have it. I know it's a little brief, but it's only me this time around, and you've heard what's coming up next time, so that should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to getting that out to you folks as well. So once again, I'd like to say thank you to all of you who have been subscribers to this podcast. If any of you have any comments or suggestions, you can feel free to leave those at our blogspot page. RickCheddar.blogspot.com is where you can find all that information, and you know, you can leave a comment there. It will be public. I will respond if I feel necessary to do so, and know that everybody will also see it. Don't be surprised if somebody else responds to it, just because that's what they do. Also, our thanks to all of the people whose directories this podcast has been listed to, like Blueberry, Stitcher FM, which is a wonderful group of folk over there at Stitcher. They do a great job of helping me to promote this podcast. Also, our thanks to Player.fm and, God, who else? The whole list is there. If I forget you, my apologies. Podbean is the host of this whole thing. And, of course, it's available on iTunes. Those of you who do not have Apple products, it's available in all those other places, too. And especially on my blog page, rickcheddar.blogspot.com. You can listen right there online, or you can download it for future use and probably bump it into your phone that way too. I'm not quite sure how it works. I don't have an Android device. I'm that guy. Speaking of which, before I wrap this up, I want to make mention of this real quick. This whole business with the band U2, they're an Irish band. They've released a brand new record, and they did it by putting it into everybody's iTunes account. Automatically, you if you have an iTunes account, you already have the record. You've probably heard about this, and you probably already know about this. And if you have, my apologies. But for those of you who don't know about this, they completely released this record free of charge, and dumped the entire album right into your iTunes account. Which begs the issue now: when has iTunes now become a junk box? Because quite frankly, if I'd want the U2 record, I would have downloaded the damn thing. Never really been a big fan of that band anyway, but to kind of, you know, drop it into my iTunes account is sort of like getting unwanted spam. I didn't really need this or want this. What do you think about it? Kind of weird, isn't it? That's the world we're going to be living in now. People are going to be giving you music thinking that you want it, whether you do or not. That's what I like about having this podcast. I will never do that. If you like it, great. Subscribe to it. There's many ways to do so. If you don't like it, that's fine. Delete it. And we'll never speak again. So on that note, thank you once again for being a part of the podcast. And thank you to all of the subscribers who continue to keep it going. We love each and every one of you. So there you have it. Until next time, I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been From Radioland.